One verse by way of context this morning, Luke chapter number 7. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. Luke chapter number 7, one verse, verse number 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Unusual question coming from John the Baptist, isn't it? He says, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, When Doubts Arise. When Doubts Arise. If you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help when doubts arise. Father, help us today. Teach us. And Father, I pray that you would encourage our hearts today to understand that doubts are going to come in probably every single one of our lives. But Father, it's how we respond to those that makes all the difference. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd teach us that this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want you to drop down to verse number 24. And I'd like for us to consider these five verses here in verses 24 through 28. Jesus Christ states here, he says, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? He says in verse 24, And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. And this is talking about John the Baptist. He said, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I want you to notice verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And Jesus Christ assures all of those in the crowd there that were around when the two disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus and they say, Look, are you the one? Are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? And Christ is assuring this crowd that this wasn't just any ordinary man that had asked that question. This was John the Baptist. Of all the prophets, the Bible says, John the Baptist was the greatest. This is the man who proclaimed in John chapter 1 and verse number 29, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In John 3:30, we just heard a message from this a couple of weeks ago from Brother Fisher. In John 3:30, the Bible says, He must increase, but I must decrease. That was John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't worried about Christ having more converts or more disciples than he did. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. So what does that mean for us regarding our text? It teaches us very simply that all of us may have doubts that arise in our lives. They often come because of trials or because of circumstances that we never expected to face. Or many times those doubts come when we face circumstances that we don't think we deserve to face. Lord, I'm living for you. Lord, I'm doing right. Why did I get cancer? Lord, as best I know, I'm giving and I'm serving and I'm trying to raise my children right. And Lord, I'm trying to live right for you as a teenager. Why did this happen to me? And many times doubts arise because of our circumstances. By the way, the Bible says in verse number 18 of Luke chapter 7, it says, And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. What were all these things? It was all the miracles that he was doing. In the first part of Luke chapter 7, we have the centurion's servant healed. In verse number 11, the context begins. We have the widow of Nain. Her son is raised from the dead. And here comes John the Baptist, his disciples. The disciples of John the Baptist, they come and they tell him, by the way, where is John the Baptist at this moment? He's in jail. He's in prison. He's in the prison of Machaerus. He's there in Herod's fortified prison, if you will, with no hopes of getting out. By the way, simply because he denounced Herod's sin by taking his brother's wife. And he denounced that and Herod threw him in jail. And we know that sometime in the future that they're going to take John the Baptist and they're going to take his head and they're going to put it on a charger. That's how he's going to die. He's going to be a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, while he's in prison, he hears the reports of everything that's happening. And we aren't told the reason why he asked the question. We don't know. Why does he ask this question? Did John the Baptist know who Christ was? Sure he did. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So why the doubts? Why the question? Maybe John wonders why Christ hasn't performed a miracle and delivered him from prison. Don't know. It doesn't say. I'm just speculating. Maybe he wonders why the Lord has allowed him to be in such a predicament after all that he has done for the Messiah. He was the forerunner. He paved the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the message of repentance and paved the way for Jesus Christ to come. Maybe John wonders why the Messiah hasn't exerted his right as King of Kings and overthrown the Roman tyranny. We don't know. But we do know this. He had a doubt. And he sent two disciples to Jesus Christ and said, are you the one that should come? Are you the Messiah? That's what he's saying. Are you really the Messiah? Or should we look for another? Listen, doubts come into all of our lives. And by the way, this morning, I'm not talking about doubting God. No matter what comes into our lives, we should never doubt God. But sometimes we do doubt as to why those things come into our lives. Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow that tragedy? Lord, we don't deserve that. Isn't that what we think sometimes? Lord, why did you allow all of these circumstances? And why did you allow the flat tire and the dishwasher to go out and the stove to go out? And everything happened at once. Why did you allow that? And we ask why. And we have doubts. So the truth before us this morning is that doubts will likely arise in our lives, but our desire this morning is simply this, is to arm ourselves with the proper responses when doubts arise. And we find that right here in Luke chapter number 7. What is or what are the proper responses when the doubts do arise? Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Lord, is this really the occupation you want me to have in my life? Lord, is this really the individual that you want me to spend the rest of my life with? Lord, is this how you would want me to spend my money? Lord, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? And doubts arise sometimes, don't they? How do we respond to that? Let me give you three this morning. Give you three responses when doubts arise. First of all, when doubts arise, we must return to the foundation of our faith. When doubts arise, we must return or stay or seek or whatever word you want to put in there. We must return to the foundation of our faith. Where did John the Baptist go when he had a question? He went to Jesus Christ. He didn't go to his disciples per se. He didn't go to someone else. He didn't go to a counselor. He went to the source of his faith. He went to the individual that he had proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God. He must increase, I must decrease. Where did he go when he had a question? when he had a doubt. Lord, is this what I'm... Hey, Lord, I'm in prison. I could be doing so much more for you if I weren't in here. I don't know that that ever crossed his mind, but it would have crossed my mind. Lord, if I weren't in here, I could be preaching and preaching and baptizing. I could be doing so much for you. But that wasn't God's plan for him right at that moment. Doubts are going to come. How do we respond? We must return to the foundation of our faith. In verse 19, they go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 20, it says, when the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Look, if you have a question in your life, you know who can answer it? Jesus Christ. Look, my wife can't answer all the questions that I may have in my life. Some counselor or another pastor or a good godly individual that I could go to and talk to that would be helpful, they can't necessarily answer those questions for me. They might be able to help. But you know who can answer the question? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the foundation of my faith. Who had John the Baptist put his faith in to begin with? It was the Messiah. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he had a question, where did he return to? He returned to the foundation of his faith. Would you hold your place here and would you go to Hebrews chapter 12? Why do we go to the foundation of our faith? Why do we say that? Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me if you would this morning. See, here's the problem we have sometimes. Here's the problem I have sometimes. When we have a doubt or we have a question or we wonder in our minds, what should I do? You know what we try to do? We try to manipulate the circumstance. We try to fix it on our own, or we try to answer the question on our own instead of just simply going to the foundation of our faith, going to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I have this question. I'm not sure. Lord, you've got to help me with this. And by the way, wasn't that a big question? Hey, are you really the Messiah? Or should I look for another? That's a pretty serious question. But who did he go to? He didn't go to the scholars. He didn't go to the priests. He didn't go to the rabbis. He went to the source. Hebrews chapter 12, and this is why we go to the source. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We go there because he is the author. He's the originator. And he's the finisher of our faith. The Bible says in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, by the way, I don't think this was the case with John the Baptist, but many times the reason we have doubts and questions is because we have sin in our life. And so that's definitely the first place we need to go, is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse number 1, he said, look, let's lay aside every weight, let's lay aside every sin, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking with our eyes fixed, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look, he started it. He started my faith. He's going to finish it. So if I ever have a question in between the start and the finish, who do I need to go to? The author of my faith, the finisher of my faith, the one that can answer the question. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, for the joy that was set before him. We've preached from this before, and we've said it before, but what was the joy that was set before him? Us. You know who he saw when he went to the cross? Us. Now, a lot of us, well, let me say this. Some of us aren't a whole lot of joy to look at. And I'm talking about myself. Look, but when he saw us, the Bible says it was joy that was set before him because he knew, look, I'm not doing this in vain. I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this because this is why I'm enduring the cross. I'm doing it for these young men right here. They weren't alive at that time, were they? But he looked 2,000 plus years down the road in history and said, there are some young men who need me. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Okay, so if he would do that for us, if he's the author and finisher of our faith, then who do I need to return to when I have a doubt? It's to him. I don't need to run here and there and yonder looking for the answer that I want to hear. I need to go to the one who's going to give me the answer that I need to hear. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when doubts arise, what should my first response be? We must return to the foundation of our faith. We go right to the source. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you have a question, if you have a question about construction, who in this room would you go to? You're not coming to me. Because probably anything I build is not going to be square. No, you're going to go to Roger. Okay, in this auditorium, if you have a question about emergency medical situations, who are you going to go to? Could be a couple people in here, but who are you going to go to? You can go to Adam and Jeremy. That's who you're going to go to. Why? Because they're the source of that knowledge. Okay, when I have a question in my spiritual life, as I walk this life of faith, who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to the source. So number one, we must return to the foundation of our faith. Number two, look at verses 21 and 22 back in Luke chapter 7. The disciples come. The two disciples of John the Baptist come to Christ. They give him the question there in verse number 20. Verse number 21, and in that same hour, while they were present, while these disciples are there, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. By the way, I love the way Luke writes. He uses his physician's vernacular. And he uses the word infirmities, the diseases and the plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Number one, we must return to the foundation of our faith. But number two, we must be reminded of the proofs of His person. John the Baptist had a question, are you really the one that should come, or should we look for another? Well, the first thing he did is he went to the right source. He went to the right place. He returned to the foundation of his faith. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, here's what Jesus Christ did for him. He reminded him and he gave him proof of who he was. Hey, he has questions. Let me show you, and I want you to go back and tell him what you have seen and what you have heard. And that'll answer his question. What did they see and what did they hear? The Bible tells us their infirmities and their plagues were cured. The evil spirits were cast out. The blind were given their sight. He says, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Hey, you've heard the gospel preached to the poor. Go tell him what you've heard and what you've seen. You know what we ought to do? You know what the proper response, or at least one of the proper responses is when I have doubts? I simply need to be reminded, and one of the best places to be reminded is in His Word, and by the way, also in what He's done for me in the past. But I need to be reminded of the proofs of what His Word says and what He's done in the past of who He is and what He does of His person. We just need to be reminded. Lord, how are we going to pay this bill this month? That's a doubt, isn't it? That's a question, isn't it? Lord, how am I going to pay this bill this month? Now, I get it, and this isn't the message this morning, but I get sometimes we put ourselves in bad situations, and it's self-inflicted. I get that. But you know, even in those cases, God still wants to help. And so we come, Lord, I have no idea how I'm going to pay this bill this month. How am I going to pay it? Well, that's the first place to go, is to say, God, how am I going to do it? Because you're going to the source. But then secondly, you know what needs to happen? I simply need to be reminded of what He's done in the past. I need to be reminded of how powerful He is and how He has proven Himself over and over again. What proofs did He give here? I've written down three here, the proofs of His ministry, the proofs of His miracle, and the proofs that He was the Messiah. Nobody could do what He did. Nobody could heal the blind. Nobody could give sight to the blind. Nobody could cast out an evil spirit. Nobody could cleanse sin except the Messiah. The proofs of His ministry. He was healing. He was preaching the gospel. The proofs of His miracles. And the proofs that He is the Messiah. Let me ask us a question this morning. Why, when we have doubts and questions, no matter what it is, why do we run sometimes to a fleshly source who has never done anything for us instead of running to the One who has done so many things for us in the past? And by the way, I'm including myself in that question. Because you know how many times we doubt, and boy, the pressure comes and things come, and Lord, how are we going to handle this? How are we? That's the right response. Or more specifically, Lord, how are You going to handle this? Number one, we must return to the foundation of our faith. Number two, we must be reminded of the proofs of His person, of who He is, of what He does, of what He can do. Now, by the way, I'm not saying that we make decisions. I want to put this properly. I'm not saying that we make decisions that God doesn't want us to make because we're assuming upon His goodness and His blessings. Like, if I make $25,000 a year and I think God is telling me to go purchase a $400,000 house, that's not good, is it? By the way, the bank's not going to let me do that, first of all. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Well, bless God, He told me He wants me to have a $500,000 house. I only make $25,000 a year, but He's going to give it to me. Now, can He give it to me? Absolutely. We talked about that recently. He gave the midwives in the book of Exodus, He gave them houses, didn't He? He could do that. But nowhere in the Bible does it teach us to be foolish and presume upon the goodness of God. But what I am saying is that we look back and we look forward. But we look back and we see the proofs of who He is and what He does. And we're reminded, okay, if I have a question, if I have a doubt, He has proven Himself. See, doubts come when we forget the proof of God. When we forget that He has proven Himself in the past. That's when the doubt comes. God, I have a big bill. I have a big payment that just came in and got a bill in the mail. Lord, okay. How has He helped you in the past with finances? How has He helped you in the past with medical issues? How has He helped you in the past with spiritual matters? Lord, I'm just struggling in this area of my life right now. Lord, how do we fix this? I've helped you in the past, I'll help you now. Number one, what are the proper responses when doubts arise? We must return to the foundation of our faith. And by the way, that's key. Because so many today, and so many even in Christianity today, they're running to counselors, and by the way, and pastors, and that's good, that's what we're here for, but they're running to friends, and they're trying to get the ear of people who can't solve the problem. But God can. Whose ear do we need? I need the ear of God. I need the ear of the source of my faith. Number one, we must return to the foundation of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, part of that is returning right here. We return to the foundation of our faith. Number two, we must be reminded of the proofs of His person. Then thirdly, notice verse number 23. And blessed is he. We know that word blessed, it means happy. The Bible says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Was John the Baptist offended? I don't know, but it almost gives the idea that John the Baptist may have been offended because, hey, he's still in prison. I don't know that. The Bible says John the Baptist was the greatest of all prophets, so who am I to say what the issue was? But there was some issue that gave John the Baptist pause, and he gave him a doubt, and he gave a question to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you the one, or should we look for another? And Christ finishes with these two disciples. He said, you go back, you tell John what you've heard, and you tell him what you have seen. And that's going to answer his question. And also in verse number 23, he finishes and he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. How do we respond when the doubts arise? First of all, we return to the foundation of our faith. Secondly, we are reminded of the proofs of his person. And then thirdly, we must rejoice in the triumph of our trials. Would you say John the Baptist is in the midst of a trial? Absolutely. What does Jesus Christ finish with these two disciples? So you tell John the Baptist, blessed is he who is not offended in me. You know how we respond when the doubts come? When we're going through a trial, we're going through a circumstance. By the way, trials come for many different reasons. We've spoken about that before. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes they come from Satan. Sometimes they're sovereign. Sometimes they come from God. But trials come in many different forms and fashions. How do we respond to that? Many times we respond with doubt. That's not the right response. Now, the doubts will arise, but how do we respond when that doubts arise? We rejoice. Blessed, happy. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. That whatever we're going through, whatever trial or whatever causes us to have the doubt or question, that we don't blame God. Not offended. Lord, I'm in this situation because I'm serving you. That's not the right response. Lord, I'm serving you and all of these bad things are happening. That's not fair. By the way, that's not the right word. The right word to use is just. There's a difference between justice and fairness. We're going to talk about that tonight. There's a difference between justice and fairness. That's the wrong statement. Lord, this isn't fair. You may not think it's fair, but is it just? Well, God is just, isn't He? And if He allows something in our lives, then He is just, and the circumstance is just. Make sense? You with me? So, instead of getting angry at God, say, God, why am I in prison? Why am I in this fortified complex of Herod, and I'm never going to get out of here? Or at least it seems as if I'm never going to get out. And by the way, He didn't. Lord, why am I here? Because God is always just, and His way is always perfect. Now again, I know we have to take into account, sometimes we get in messes because it's self-inflicted, right? Many times that's why we're in the messes we're in, because it's self-inflicted. Because we're not obeying what the Word says. But when the trials come, we must rejoice in the triumph of that trial. Pastor, you say triumph, victory? What do you mean? What do trials do for us? Say it real loud. I know. Okay, they make us grow. You know what they do? They purge us. They get rid of all the dead so that we can grow. Isn't that what you do with a plant? A shrub, your rose bushes? You cut off the dead so that new can come. They say when you trim a shrub, you're not supposed to use those gas-powered trimmers or electrical trimmers. You're supposed to use little hand clips, because that way you can get down in and get the old, and so good growth comes on the inside, not just on the outside. Hey, when I trim my hedges, the only thing that's going to grow is what's on the outside. Ain't nothing good on the inside. And that's not good. It doesn't look good. But that's what they say. You're supposed to use hand clips and supposed to get all the bad stuff off of the in, out of the inside. That way inside grows green too and outside grows green. When I trim mine, all I see is the dead that's on the inside. That may be you too. But I'm not going to use hand clippers to do shrubs. But that's the way you're supposed to do it. Well, look, that's what God does to us. He purges the old, the dead, so that new growth can come. That's what happens when trials come. Okay, so if that's what happens when trials come, then that's a victory. And I know we don't see it when we're in the midst of the trial, do we? We just see the pain, and we just see, man, I'm never going to get through this trial. And we don't see what God, many times, we don't see what God is trying to do in our lives. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells John the Baptist and tells His disciples, blessed, happy, you ought to be rejoicing, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Look, when the trials come, we cannot blame God. We have to rejoice in the victories that He's going to bring through that trial. We must rejoice in the triumph of our trials. Would you take your Bible just real quickly? We're almost done. Would you take your Bible and go to Genesis 22? We must rejoice in the triumph of our trials because they purge us from everything that keeps us from seeing Christ clearly. They purge us from everything that keeps us from seeing Christ clearly. Somebody tell me, what happens in Genesis 22? What's the story? What's the context? Abraham and Isaac, and God tells Abraham, by the way, He uses the word tempt in verse 1, and He uses the word tried and test in other passages in the Scripture. He's bringing a trial, a test, into Abraham's life. What is the test? What, say that again? Okay, the offering of Isaac, we would say that's the test. But what was the deeper test? Deeper test was faith. Now, the object to get to that, the tool to get to that was Isaac. Abraham, I want you to give Isaac, but here's what God wanted from Abraham. It wasn't Isaac. It was him. Notice what the Bible says down in verse number 12. We know the story. They go up to Mount Moriah. Abraham's getting ready to follow through with what God told him to do, right? He's going to do it. Verse number 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Notice this, for now I know that thou fearest God. He said, I know. You've gone through this test, you've gone through this trial, and it brought on the other side, you've been purged. All of the questions. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Abraham had a question whatsoever. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He went immediately. And the Bible tells us why in Hebrews chapter number 11. It tells us because Abraham knew that even if he killed Isaac, he knew that God could raise him from the dead. I imagine the whole way along that journey as they're heading toward Mount Moriah that Abraham's thinking, God, this is my only son. This is the son that you promised me. This is the son through which the seed that's going to be as great as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. That's what you've promised me, God, and you want me to kill him. But the Bible says that Abraham had faith to say that, God, no matter what you do in this trial, I know you're still going to fulfill your promise. See, in our minds, God gives us a promise, and then something comes along, and we think it's going to mess up that promise, and we forget that God always keeps His promises. And so we get thrown off track thinking, God, this isn't going to fulfill your promise. Just hang on. I always fulfill my promises. And so we ought to know He's going to bring us through that trial and He's going to give us victory on the other side. You say, Pastor, well, John the Baptist never got victory. They took his head. I would say that was pretty great victory. Somebody going to scare us with heaven? That's what Dr. John R. Rice used to say all the time. Some guy came and put a gun in his face, was going to shoot him in one of his meetings. He said, "You're not going to scare me with heaven. Shoot me, I'm going to heaven." John the Baptist never made it out of prison. But he got his question answered. And he knew this is the one. Everything I've done is not in vain. So what is our response? We must rejoice in the triumph of our trials. Why? Because they purge us. And secondly, they purify us. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. I shall come forth as gold." The pressures of the furnace aren't always good, are they? And by the way, let me rephrase it. The pressures of the furnace don't always feel good to us, do they? They can be very painful to us, can't they? But boy, when we come out on the other side, the Bible says He purifies us, He refines us, and we shall come forth as gold. The furnace, boy, He puts the pressure on. Puts us in the furnace, brings us up and wipes off all the dross off the top, puts us back down in the furnace, brings us up, wipes all the dross back off and puts us back down until we come forth as pure gold. The furnace can be tough at times, can be painful at times. But the victory on the other side is more than we could ever imagine. The victory, the triumph when we come through the trial. That's why we should not be offended when the trials come. We should not get angry at God when the trials come. Why? Because the triumph, the victory, blessed, happy, rejoicing is He, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You've seen it just like I've seen it. A trial comes into someone's life, and what's the first thing they do? They blame God. And instead of going, returning to the foundation of their faith, they blame God, they get angry at God, they get mad at God, and they don't want to have anything to do with God. They get bitter. They never see the purging, and they never see the purifying. By the way, I'm perfectly convinced that they are reminded of what God has done for them in the past. Because I don't think we can ever get away from that. But they refuse to allow that to affect their doubts and their questions, their anger. And they never get to see the triumph. They never get to see the purifying, the purging that God wants to do through that trial. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a child. I cannot imagine that. But I know people who have lost a child and they've come through it and God has purified them. And God has refined them. They may not be pure gold yet, but they're getting there. Because they didn't blame God. They didn't get angry at God. Oh, there were some doubts. There may have been doubts at the beginning. I told y'all just a couple weeks ago, when my brother and his wife lost their little boy, that was hard. It was hard for me from afar, just watching them from afar, just seeing the pain and the grief that they went through. But man, when they came through it on the other side, well, there's nothing like that. And people who come through trials and they allow God to purge and purify them have an intimacy with God that those who never allow God to purify and purge them will never have. Never have. When doubts arise, what do? We must return to the foundation of our faith. We must be reminded of the proofs of His person, who He is, what He does. And we must rejoice. Blessed is the man, whosoever shall not be offended in me. We must rejoice in the triumph of our trials. I was talking to a man even this week. A gentleman I don't even know very well. I know him a little bit, but I saw him this week and we were just talking. And the only thing he could fixate on was all the problems that were going on in his life. And I told him, I said, well, the Lord's the one that's going to help you through all this. And he kept going back to, well, this is what this person did to me, and that's what that person did to me, and this is what this person. I said, yeah, but look at what they did to Jesus Christ. And He still forgave. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, here's the truth. Things are going to come into every single one of our lives. And this is true for everything. It's always how we respond. That makes all the difference. It's always how we respond. Are we going to respond biblically and spiritually? Or are we going to respond fleshly? John the Baptist, the greatest of all prophets, had a question. He had a doubt. Are you the one that should come? Or do we look for another? Did Jesus Christ berate him for that question? Jesus Christ get angry with him over that question? He just answered it for him. Go back and tell him what you have seen and what you have heard. And tell him, blessed is the man whosoever shall not be offended in me. How do we respond when doubts arise? It makes all the difference in our lives. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the truth that it teaches us. Father, if John the Baptist, one of your greatest servants, greatest of the prophets born among women, could have a doubt, then, Father, I know we're going to have doubts at times. Not necessarily doubting you, but just doubts about maybe the direction that we're going, the direction you're sending us, the trials that may be in our lives, the circumstances. But Father, what makes the difference is how we respond. And John the Baptist responded correctly. He went right to the source. And Father, when he did that, you didn't condemn him. Father, you just gave him the answer. So, Lord, I pray when we have doubts or questions that arise, I pray that we would go to the source and I pray that we would listen for the answer. And, Father, we have the answer in your word. We have the answer in how you've proven yourself in our lives in the past. And may we rest in that. And may we rejoice knowing the victories, the triumphs that we're going to have through the trials and through the circumstances. We're going to be better. You're going to purge us. You're going to purify us through it all. Father, just help us to respond correctly. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning if you're physically able. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Michelle is going to begin to play in just a moment. The invitation's open. Look, the invitation's already been given in the message. Believer, going through a trial, going through a circumstance that maybe you think you ought not even deserve or you don't deserve to go through. Hey, don't get offended in God. Go to the source, let Him answer, and then rejoice in the triumph that is to come. That's for you this morning, believer. I know we didn't preach it this morning, but dear friend, if you're here without Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He wants to save you today. He wants to wash away your sin. Miss Jo's playing. If you need to come, you come. Friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to come. Believer, if you're here, you need to come and pray and just say, Lord, I've had doubts and I have questions and I haven't been responding properly. I've been angry at you. I haven't handled it properly. Maybe this morning you would just kneel and say, Lord, with your power, with your courage, and with your strength, I'm going to begin to handle it properly. I'm going to return to the foundation of my faith. I'm going to be reminded of the proofs of your person, who you are, what you've done for me. The fact that you're almighty, you're all powerful. And then I'm going to rejoice in the triumph of the trials, because I know the victories are coming, because I know you keep your promises. No matter what circumstance may come in and appear to thwart that promise, you always keep your promise. So I'm going to trust it through the trial. When doubts arise, trusting Jesus, that is all. We're not going to finish with a song this morning, but I do want to finish with just reading you a couple verses from one of our songs. And I'm so thankful for the doctrine and the truths that are in so many of our hymns and in our songbook. 246, it's the song Higher Ground. Verse 1 says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. But verse 2, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Doubts will come, but you ought not have a desire to stay there. You ought to have a desire to go to higher ground. You ought to have a desire to rejoice in the triumph that's coming, even through the circumstance, even through the trial. Though some may dwell where these abound, these, the fear and the doubts, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And that's where our desire ought to be. Higher ground, a more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thank you so much for being here today. Look forward to being back tonight, 6 o'clock, choir at 5 o'clock. Let's pray we'll be dismissed. I'll see you back tonight. Brother Adam Haynes, would you dismiss us, please, sir?